This is Epidemic, and you're tuned in to WCNN. You already know what it is. That big fat W for your mouth. West Coast all day, every day. Bad seed. Boom.
WCNN in the house with my man, Epidemic, my man.
Poppin', what's going on, finally?
Long overdue, bro.
Super.
So how you doing, man? What's going on, man? Well, first of all, let's tell the people who don't know about you, what you do, rapper, producer, everything I know. Let them know, you know, a little bit about yourself.
So, name is Epidemic, a.k.a. Whitey Dorner. Rap, MCing is my love, number one, hands down. Started MCing, battle rapping, like, in the late 90s. And got into producing, and played a little piano. So that kind of came together.
Oh.
Ran around with a bunch of different crews, all that stuff. Got out there, did my thing. Actually, my professional background, I do graphic design work, art. Okay. So,
of course,
you know what I'm saying? Got to have a day gig to support the habits, you know what I'm saying? And actually, have my own business. I do signs, banners, graphic design work, branding, marketing, and all that good stuff. Dumb. So it all ties in together with everything.
Dumb.
And along the lines, you know, I can tell you, doing demo records, you know, back in, we're talking 98, 97, 98.
Mm-hmm.
And it was DAWs, but like the 8-tracks, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's when before Pro Tools really kicked off to where everyone could have it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So got into that because I was tired of doing demos and reaching out to other celebrities and give it to them. They're like, well, you can rap, but I can't really hear the clarities that, man, you know?
Mm-hmm,
the clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always get that. You know, so, and the one person who told me that, like two times, I gave him a demo two separate times, and within like a 3-year span was Warren G.
Wow.
And he said, look, man, he says, you can obviously rap, he said, but the clarity, man, is not there. Like, and so from that, being from who he is.
Where'd you meet him? Where'd you give him
that? The first time I met him was at a clothing store that opened up, and I knew the owner, and he took a liking to me because he kind of wanted to help me. He was a ex-NFL player.
Oh, no.
And so he was real tight with Warren, and so he had Warren come and at the opening, and he walked me over, like, hey, check the homie out, and I gave him a cassette.
A cassette.
And that was the first time, and he checked it out, was like, oh, man, like, can do it, but like I said, you know, it's not okay, cool. And then the next time I actually knew another guy who was working at Nordstrom's, and Warren went shopping there, and he was like, man, I got something you gotta check out.
Okay.
And so he actually invited me, went to a studio.
Dope. Okay.
So we walked in, and he see me, and he like, I know you. Where do I know you from? I played out, nah. I said, well, hey, I got something. This time I had a CD, though, you know what I'm saying? Bam.
Mm.
You know? Man, you could rap, but...
Quality.
That man, it's like, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what are you hearing that I'm not...
Exactly.
He's like, man, the music needs to be tracked out. You need the right lyrics. You need to be mixed right, panning. Mm-hmm. He's understanding stuff. I'm like, okay.
In the spark.
Okay, got it. So I went back to work. You know, got Pro Tools and started learning and doing online stuff and just whatever I can learn, everything from EQing, compression, to understanding, you know, how music is actually arranged and why songs that are hit records, why are they arranged the way they are. Because if you actually look at it, hit songs, you can go look at a hit song for the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you they're going to be within a certain key, usually E or F.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have a certain groove to it and a certain arrangement.
Mm.
And so, that's what I started looking into.
Wow.
And then I had another guy I knew, and he was, he played bass.
Okay.
And he grew up around, his dad was into music, and so he grew up, he was an older gentleman, and he learned under like George Clinton and all those cats. And
they were good.
All them cats, you know, Funkadelic, you know, he was from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And so he taught me a lot. You know, he would give me a lot of game. Like, look it, man, like, you gotta understand what rap hip-hop music is. He would tell me, he says, man, he goes, it's not a bunch of melodies, it's all percussion drums.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then the melodies will come in here and there, and he, it's about bass and percussion, and you leave it open for when you're rapping. You know, and so I learned a lot from that cat, and then he even told me about rapping. He said, man, you can rap, but what you need to learn to do is rap how you talk.
Gotcha. So when you used to rap.
Well, I would rap, but it's like, it wasn't like how I am now. Like how I rap now is how I talk.
Right.
So what he taught me, he said, man, just get a little recorder, uh-huh. put it in your pocket, whatever, carry it, and just let it record all day.
So then go
back and listen, see how you talk, because everyone talks in a rhythm.
Right.
So
right.
Now I know how I talk. I talk like. So he said, learn how you talk and learn to write that way, and you'll be able to spit it better. And he goes, understand what words you use and how you say them, because we all say things differently.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. So
that's a scientist with this.
So that's why I tell people, like, you have to. It's more than just saying you want to rap. You know what I'm saying? There's technicality to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's how I started out. You know, and I actually had a couple opportunities to sit down with an engineer, that engineer for Warren, and he also did some stuff with Dre and different people.
Okay.
And I would just sit there. I said, man, let me just watch you. And he was cool.
Okay.
He was a white dude, long hair, rock and roll guy, but he could mix rap music. And he said, man, look it, you can sit here, but don't say a fucking word to me. Just watch.
Right.
I said, cool.
Right.
And whenever I got a chance, I'd go and just sit there and watch him.
Right.
And then after a few times, he would say, okay, if you got any questions, you know.
Right.
And so I would talk to him.
Right.
Turn out, this dude, he mixed everybody from Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Warren G. I mean, like crazy records.
Right.
Crazy records, you know what I'm saying?
This is who you're learning from.
Yeah, and so I was learning, and he would just break stuff down for me. And so that's like, it was crazy. Like, this is where I learned. You know what I'm saying? Then I just went on my own and said, okay, I need to learn this. Why does a record sound like this versus why does a good record sound good? Well, because everything has its own place and pan, and everything is its own section.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then that's when I got into mixing, because I got tired of paying people.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not sounding how I want to sound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I went head first into Pro Tools, into mixing. And I think Pro Tools is like the greatest thing ever, because you don't have to deal with tapes. You don't have to deal with having to recall on the big boards. And because back then, we used to take notes on pads.
Okay,
here's a session. Boom, boom, boom. The recall is this. The panning's here. You have
to
take notes.
Got you.
Now Pro Tools, it's just there.
It's there. Save the session.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's how I learned, man. And I just dove headfirst into it and said, I know how I want to sound. And I know when the music's tracked out, I can take stuff out, because I know at this part, on this third, fourth bar, I'm going to say this line. And I need all this stuff to come out, because I need this line to cut through.
Right.
And then come back, boom.
Right.
You know, so I attack it from whenever I mix records from an artist point of view.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's some technical, like, but you're talking as engineer talk. Like,
right, yeah,
no,
hands down.
For
hands
real.
Down. Yeah.
Hands down, like, a lot of artists and producers don't even comprehend what you're talking about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So Warren basically sparked your interest with the by necessity.
Right.
Of learning how to mix. And everything.
Right.
What gave you your fire with the bars? Got you rapping?
Believe it or not, my older brother.
Okay.
He's the one who got me into it. And I mean, we're talking like 1991.
Okay.
We dated myself a little bit. 1991. And he was the MC.
Okay.
And he was.
So your brother was an MC?
Oh, yeah.
Real serious with the craft.
Yeah. Okay. And he made beats on the MPC.
On the MPC.
He was more like an East Coast influence. Like, he loved EPMD, Tribe Called Quest, Gangstar. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Classics.
You know, and Public Enemy, mm-hmm. X-Clan, mm-hmm. you know. All the class of stuff, you know what I'm saying? And he would make beats with his homie.
Okay.
But I would always, like, trying to freestyle, and I could always have that knack where I could just spit stuff, but I would always say funny off the wall shit.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Make people laugh.
Yeah, make people laugh, but also say mean shit too. You know? So I could do both. And then he would be like, my brother would be like, man, you need to start rapping, write songs. You know what I'm saying? Write songs. And he's the one who would taught me about how to
structure a song.
Structure a song. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So he would, him and his homie, they would call up. We're talking back when the Baker Boys was on Power 106.
Oh, you took me back.
And they had had the Friday roll call where you call in and you battle. You battle another rapper.
I remember that, bro.
My brother and him, they won so much. Like, they just won all the time.
Your brother was on there. I used to listen to that consistently. Like,
yeah.
For real. Like.
Him and his homie would always call. And they would go back for win. Damn. And so then I started doing it after about a year. And I started doing it.
Okay.
And then we just started winning shit. Okay. You know, and after a while it got boring. You know, we're like, okay. So we just started making music. But yeah, he's the one who got me into the bar work and got me into where it's like, you know, because I feel, you know, hip hop is, you have to know the people before you, how it was created, what they brought to it, and how can you take what they did and evolve it into your own, but into like a next tier type thing. Yep.
You have to.
So, and it's gotta have a concept and story, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't know, I've always been to like just bars, man. It just has to be, to where people hear, they go, whoa, damn, what? Oh, hold on, rewind.
That's what I like about your style too. Right. You don't have enough of that in the game.
Definitely not.
You don't have enough of that.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Man, that's a breath of fresh air.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. We're talking the Epidemic here on Dove CNN. Let's get about your background. You're from Gardena, California.
Gardena.
For those that don't know.
East Side. Rosecrans of Vermont. Right there. 136 block.
Yeah. All right, no, Strawberry Square over here? Close over
there. Yeah. By the 7-Eleven, okay, the Jack in the Box.
But how was it growing up in Gardena? Especially, you know, on being an artist. On, you know, aspiring artist.
You know what? And, you know, I stayed a lot of times with, I have an uncle and my aunt who passed away years ago. They live on the border of Santa Ana, and Garden Grove.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time over there, so I ran around Santa Ana a lot, that whole area for a while,
okay,
and kind of learned the area and this and that. And I lived down in South Orange County, you know, which is like El Toro.
Okay.
Mission Viejo, around there. So I've been kind of everywhere, you know what I'm saying? And but I always find myself coming back up.
Back to Gardena?
Always, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, at the end of the day, I would say it's not where you from, it's where you at.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's crazy, man, it's crazy. I've seen a lot. And
freestyling off of that, because you're talking about Gardena and, like, you know, you've been to different places. What do you feel about the lack of representation in the hip-hop game from artists from Gardena, you know?
Well, believe it or not, there's more artists that are actually from Gardena than people don't.
Wow.
Like on some real famous people, Tyga's really from Gardena.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But, I mean, you know, it's crazy. You know, and there's a lot of people that has impacted their lives and career, you know, because Gardena's that city, it's next to Compton, you know, you got Athens, it's like everything is like right there, but everyone goes through that. It's where the 91 ends, where the 110 starts.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So,
you know,
there's a lot. If anyone's ever lived in South LA, Harbor area, at one point in their life, they've lived in Gardena.
Realtor, or Hawthorne.
Yeah. But you're right down the street.
Right down the street.
You know what I'm saying?
It's in Gardena or Hawthorne.
But there's a lot of dope artists right now out of the city.
It is?
You know? Okay. I mean, you know, you got the homie Big Doty.
Oh, Big Doty. Big Doty is from Gardena.
And as far as the younger cats, I mean, you got the young cats, the, you know, Baby Bounce and the OKM. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Dope. They younger, they dope, they got their own movement thing. It's way different from what we was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dope.
People sleep on that city. Like, yeah. I went to school in Gardena. That's what I know. High school.
Right.
So I know, like, people sleep. Like, Gardena has talent. Talented people in Gardena, man. And testament right here with Epidemic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. Back to what you're doing now, man. What you got going on now, Epidemic? You just did a show.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. Yeah, the show in La Habra and a fight broke out in the first song of my set. But okay. It was live. It was packed.
Oh, what?
It was.
Yo.
It was packed.
Yo, I know you were mad that they fucked it up.
Man, we were rocking and the crowd was feeling it. It was all good. I mean, no doubt it was a cholo party, but it was turned up. It was wild. And then right at the end of my first song, just fight some guy, out. This guy, it was this one dude. He was way too lit. And he was acting crazy, banging on people, and okay. He banged on the wrong people, and there was way too many of them. And he just came. You already know how that goes.
Yeah.
So, but it was cool. I was able to still get my song in and met some new faces and all that stuff. But got another show coming up.
Yeah.
November 24th.
Okay.
With OG Suicide.
Dope.
You're gonna have Big to the Boy performing.
Nice.
The homeboy Siete, he's performing. Hot Boy.
Dope.
So that's going to be our club out here.
September?
November 24th.
November 24th, that club.
Bahia.
Yeah, you know Dub Sin is going to be, you know, we're going to try to be in the building. That tribe will be in the building, okay?
It's going to be wild. It's going to be a good one. So I got some other shows we're trying to lock down right now. So okay. I'm going to be real active for this end of the year.
As an artist, do you like performing more versus recording?
Different.
I know it's a different.
It's a complete high. It's a complete different high. Yeah. I mean, perform it. I look at it like this. I like the recording aspect and creating, because it allows you to start with a blank canvas, and you're anticipating how are people going to receive it.
Right. And you're know creating. What I'm saying?
Creating the whole everything. But then when you get it, the finished product, it's like, okay, this is it. And you get your show tracks together. Boom. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you're rocking live. And when the energy's there, and they're receiving it. And you're like, okay, boom. And then they're like, we want more. Then that's dope. But I mean, I like them both equally.
Yeah. You perform a lot, right?
Like, you know what? I am now, but like the last 2 years, I really haven't done no shows.
You kind of like
slow down. I've just been recording and just doing other shit.
Right.
But yeah, when I start doing shows, when it goes, it's just. Don't.
I know it's a totally different high. I know. I'm more on the recording side. I don't even. But I know I see the energy, like,
right.
You know, when you witness it. Like,
yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Hella crazy.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about some of your projects you released in the recent years. Of course, you had the mixtape where you guys went at Tekashi.
Oh, yeah, the Walter and Whitey album.
Let's talk to the fans, because, you know, it's still relatively fresh, you know.
Yeah, that was last year. Yeah. So the Walter and Whitey project. Me and the homeboy Sickness from the Bad Seed Camp,
right.
We were talking, and he was over at my pad, and he's like, man, let's do something, let's create something, like, okay, cool,
right.
Get some beats together, and that's how we usually just start, you know?
Right.
And I said, we need to do something like shocking, but get people to pay attention,
right.
And I'm like, I go, man, who... Is there anybody out here that we really don't like?
I always wanted to get the psyche behind the creation of it.
And then he's like, well, you know who I don't like? He told me. And no one really knew who Tekashi was. We're talking. So this was...
This before the whole case?
Before he even did the LA... I mean, he was not even known.
Okay.
And he was like, man, there's this kid, man, from New York. And I'm like, okay. And he showed to me. And I go, yeah, I've heard of him. Uh-huh. I'm like... Nah, to me, he sounded like, I thought he was like kind of like a DMX type voice. I was like, oh, he sounds cool.
Right.
He's like, nah, look at this dude messing with little girls. He's this, he's fraudulent. And I'm like, oh, we gotta get him. Let's go. He's fraudulent. At that point, I was like, he's fraudulent.
Right.
You can tell when somebody's really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
He's the kid, he's not a gang member. He's not a street dude.
It sounded good
right.
on the records. Then you saw it, it's like.
So I was like, this dude fraudulent. So we just started looking more and more. And at that time, the big artist was Lil Yachty.
Lil Yachty. Right.
And I was like, oh, this guy's, oh, God.
Oh, you were on Lil Yachty.
So and then Lil Pump came out with the Gucci. I was like, oh. So it's like that whole thing was going on, rainbow hair and all stuff. And I was like, this is crazy. You know, because end of the day, rainbow color is, you know, the gay community. That's what
it's their symbol. Right.
So it's like, y'all, you're not gay. So
right.
To me, that's like, that's like false flagging.
Right.
Right? Same thing.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, this can't fly. And people are saying, oh, this is hip hop. No.
Right.
So that's when we started doing the Walter and Whitey. We knocked it out fast.
Right.
Like, got the beats together and wrote and recorded everything. Literally, I'd probably say total 2 months.
Okay. Got it.
And got the art where we did the cartoon theme. Yeah, that's what they were all doing.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Shout out to my cousin, my prima. She did the artwork for me. And then we put it out.
Okay.
Did a campaign, online campaign. Got a lot of attention.
Right.
That shit got a lot of attention. You know, people were hitting people I know in the industry like, what the fuck is that? What's going on? Like, it's hot, you know?
For those that don't know, he had Tekashi's, I think, head cut off.
Decapitated head. Yeah, it was wild. Body parts and shit. Yeah, it was off the chain. So look it up, Walter and Whitey.
Walter and Whitey.
That's what it's called. The group, it's our alter egos. He's Walter White. I'm Whitey Dorner.
Right. Okay, he's Walter and Whitey. So that's the official group you're going to do?
Yeah, it's just Walter and Whitey. Will we ever do another one? It depends what other whack trash comes out. You never can tell. We might come out again. So yeah, we did that, and believe it or not, it did really well.
Right.
Can we just put streaming? Just stream.
Streaming. Yeah, that's what.
And it did really well.
Right.
And we're like, cool.
To me, that's super dope because in today's era, I don't like throwing people under the bus, ever. But
right.
It's a lot of peace. Everything's got to be PC. You know, right. And you're politically correct and all that.
And the cool part is, I can get away with it so much because of my skin tone.
Why you said it?
I'm light-skinned. People, you know, end of the day, they're like, oh, the white boy, even though I'm Hispanic, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Man, I'm a mixed kid, you know? Right. But like, oh, the white boy, oh, he's a crazy white boy.
Right.
Crazy white boy. They say about Eminem, crazy white boy.
Okay, right? I get you.
You know what I'm saying? So I can get away with a lot more, and I know it.
Right.
So I push the envelope.
That's smart.
Push the envelope. You have to.
So use the tools God gave us.
So that probably did really well, man. And believe it or not, before that, I didn't drop anything. What album was it? The Beast Within. That was 2013.
Wow.
And between then, that was just like singles.
Singles, okay. Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. What project are you working on now?
I'm working on an album right now.
You are? I figured. I'm
trying to have it done for October.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
I'm about 75% done.
Okay. Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. Are you in the battle rap at all?
No more. I mean, I started out doing that. Mm-hmm. But as far as going and getting in the content, I'm done with that.
Okay.
You know, but I still like doing freestyle competitions online.
Well, that's why I asked, because it's kind of like in the same, not the same, but similar.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Cousins.
Yeah. It's exactly. Yeah. With the Dozens game and all that. But, I mean, I just did a contest that just ended.
You know, and as far as, I'd probably say the other recent project was the mixtape, the Epistoria Beat Home.
Oh, yeah. Tell them about that. They're like jacking for beats type.
Yeah,
shit.
So. At that time, every song on the radio was a Mustard beat.
Mustard.
That's what Mustard is. Just everything was Mustard. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The unplayable hi-hat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. The minimal.
Right. The four key thing, you know? So I was like, you know what? I want to do a mixtape. And I want to do a concept. I'm big on concepts, you know?
Yeah.
So it came to me. I was literally in the market and doing some grocery shopping, and I seen the Mustard bottle. And for some reason, I looked at it. I walked by it, I see the Mustard bottle, and I looked at it, and you know, YG says, you know, Mustard on the beat, ho. Right? Yeah. And I walked by, I looked at it, and I went, Epi stole your beat, ho. And I kept walking, I just said out loud, and people were like, what? And so I was like, I thought about it. I'm like, I need to do a mixtape. Epi stole your beat, ho. Steal all his beats, the hot ones.
Right.
Just some features on there and do my thing. Yeah. Do how I would do it.
I love that concept.
And so I ripped all the instrumentals I could find, got the best ones, and I got a bunch of features on there. You know what I mean? I had everybody from Rum. I had got Rum on it with Suicide on one song.
Mm-hmm.
I had the homie EX the Hustler on it. Warbuck Morgan on it, Big to the Boy, A Tizzle, shout out. I had Sickness on it. I had so many features. It was just a great. It was so good. You know, so everything just came together. big shit talking, put it out. People loved it, and I did like a packaging for it.
Right.
Okay. Which I only did 50 of them with a T-shirt. As a box that was yellow with the logo and this
I
love
the CD. Cover. The cover was fire.
Right. With the mustard. Yeah, the mustard bottle. You know. Yeah. So I did this whole little package thing with stickers, CD, T-shirt, special box. And I sold them for $50. I only made 50 of them. Yeah. I sold them. Motherfuckers were gone like that.
Damn.
I was like, okay.
It's okay. You know? We'll have to revisit this marketing strategy.
Yeah. And I got a lot of attention from it. It was dope. It was probably one of my favorite mixtapes I ever did.
Dope.
Just had the most fun with it.
Dope.
Because I would normally have never rapped on those beats ever.
Right.
You know, and I was doing auto-tune and all kind of singing, all kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? So it was tight. I had a good time.
Right.
Yeah. It's just wild. Just wild, man. So check that out.
Episode your B-Hole.
Walter and Whitey. Yeah.
Project.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. Who are some of your inspirations?
Believe it or not, musically, inspirations. Music. Love Prince.
Prince?
Oh, love Prince, dude.
Really? I didn't expect you to say Prince.
Oh, my God.
You
know, I love listening to Prince.
What?
Prince. Man, I believe it or not, man, you know, I love Fleetwood Mac.
Whoa. Wow.
I love...
You never hear a rapper say these type of artists.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking music, you know what I'm saying?
Real music.
I mean, of course, Michael Jackson. I mean, as far as rap goes, hip-hop, I mean, here's a few, because I'm always doing the lyrics and MCing.
Right.
My favorite rapper, which is people like, what, is Too Short, believe it or not.
Yo.
Too Short's my favorite rapper.
Yo.
I love Too Short. I love Big Daddy Kane. Love Big Daddy Kane.
He was a man back in the day. He was like, he was the East Coast dude. I remember.
He was that guy.
A lot of people liked him more than Rakim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, fuck, man. I like KRS-One.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of him, but I love what he did when he first came out and how he just...
The early KRS-One. The criminal-minded KRS-One.
Bingo.
Myself, a Uzi, and my brother, a 9 KRS-One. Exactly. Yeah, I already know. That was my favorite version of KRS-One.
And of course, I mean, I love Gangstar, Premier Guru.
People sleep on him because Guru, rest in peace. Right. Gangstar.
Yeah. EPMD, love EPMD.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Love that, man. Yes, you know? Yeah. And, I mean, of course, I love my Ice Cube.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying? But these are the people that, when I was young, that I would listen to.
You would listen to.
You know, like wow. Yeah. You know, this is it.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of feed off of, you know what I'm saying?
Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. Okay. Let me ask you as far as your opinion of, like, you know, you ain't got to throw anybody under the bus, but, you know, of the rap game, you know. I ask people that sometimes because, you know, everything is not, you know, what it should be. Mm-hmm. I'll say that much, you know, but what's your feeling?
On just the rap game in general right now?
Today.
I think it's gotten way off course.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, people say that rap music is, or hip hop music, whatever you want to call it.
I mean, earlier this year or last year, Will.i.am. Mm-hmm. Said that hip hop is the lowest hanging fruit of music right now. Like, people say stuff like that.
Well, because they say that because everybody thinks they can do it.
Yeah.
When you have anybody can record something on your iPad with a mic, not even a mic, a headphone,
right,
and rip a beat.
Yeah.
So people think they've cheapened it to where, like, it makes them like you don't need any type of talent whatsoever, you know? So that's where it comes into, like, the mumble rap type. And then even the people just saying, you know, two bars over and over and over. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, like, that's cheapened it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think we're in a fucked up time of hip-hop, but we're also in a really good time. And what I'm saying is, why I say that is, for as many trash artists are coming out, and because really the people were to blame are all the record labels.
Absolutely.
Because they're the ones who say...
They're the ones that push it. They're the drug dealers.
Oh, this person, you may have one person, that has this one style, and they get big. For example, Lil Uzi Vert. Yeah, he had his fucking thing, boom. And believe it or not, Lil Uzi Vert, he was really like an MC. Go, there's some old footage of him, like, actually battle rapping, doing some shit. He's actually, how he raps now is not how he did it just to get on and do it.
I believe you.
So, he blew up, right? Then what do you have? All of a sudden, Lil Uzi Vert, then all of a sudden, Lil Yachty, Lil this, Lil that. So, the labels, you know, they see, oh, that's working, so we need to get something.
Let's find copy.
Right, and that's what they've always done. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did it when Eminem came out. Eminem, then they had, they're like, come on, bro. There was so many.
Bubba Sparks was the next one. Bubba Sparks. And then it was,
There was a bunch of them. So that's what they try and do. You know what I'm saying? And that's what fucks the game up.
Do you have problems with that label at all? Because you mentioned it earlier, you know what I'm saying? You said people call the white bucket, people don't know your ethnicity.
Well, see, you know what? People like to compare. Hands down. What does it sound like? You look like this. You look like that. You know? I mean, I'm so used to it now. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
But when people say, oh, people always say, oh, Eminem. Yeah. And, you know, I tell people, oh, you're a homeless person. They're like, what? Why would you say that? Well, you look like a fucking bum. And they get mad. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, right? Am I wrong?
No, I
mean,
you're not wrong. I wouldn't expect that.
But I tell people that shit. You know? Oh, you know, it's like, straight up. Oh, you know, Eminem, oh, you're a drug addict.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You look like one to me because I saw a drug addict the other day walking down the street. Then that's what you look like.
Right.
That's not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People like to just compare shit, and because that makes them feel comfortable. When there's something that they can't understand or can't compare, they freak out.
Right, they try to put it in a box.
It's weird. It's the weirdest shit. It's the fucking weirdest shit. It's just weird as fuck. You know?
Right, but you have ran into that kind of.
Oh my God.
I'm sure.
Oh
I'm
my God. Yeah. Yeah, anytime a light-skinned guy can fucking actually rap,
I'm sure.
Oh, Eminem, oh, you're not as good as Eminem.
I'm not trying to be
him. What the fuck are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
You know?
You don't get that whole bullshit in the game. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
You know what? No. I'm going to ask you something new. Everybody has asked top 10 MCs. I'm going to ask you the top 10 worst MCs.
Top 10 worst MCs? Yeah. We do... The top. How about this? We'll say 5 and 5 because okay. 10 is just.
Okay, five.
We'll say 5 best MCs, 5 worst.
5 worst.
Let's go 5 no, best first. Let's classic. Do top 5 first.
Yeah.
In my top 5, in no particular order, I'm just going to say
okay.
Top 5, Pac, Big, Nas, Rakim, Marshall Mathers.
Nice.
Top 5. Worst 5.
That's what I want to hear.
Lil Pump. Lil Yachty, Tekashi 6ix9ine.
I knew that one.
Fuck, man, there's just so many of them. I need 2 more. What other 2?
Trippy Red.
He's trash.
You killer.
Who else? I need 1 more. Who can I else throw in there?
I love it. F is killer.
Who else can I throw in there? There's just so many. There's so many bad fucking rappers out here. Lil Nas X.
Oh my God!
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, you know I was. You know that was the
okay.
I was about to spin right into that.
Okay, so
let's dive
here's my
right
take on
into
it.
F. What's up?
He's independent artist, comes out with a country song, and everyone's mad because he's black and he's trying to do country with trap, right?
Right, right.
Oh, so then Billy Ray Cyrus jumps on board somehow.
Right.
He gets him on. Oh, we're going to do a song together. And because they love Billy Ray Cyrus, the country people. And then the black community. Oh, you're just being racist, this and that. Song blows up somehow.
Right.
Independent artist.
Right, somehow.
And then all of a sudden comes out, I'm gay. Get the fuck out of here. Number one, we... No damn well there was a label behind you the whole time.
Had to be.
Billy Ray Cyrus ain't jumping on no track with no
without a major
cowboy
label.
Kid. Mm-hmm. Not happening.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
And then
definitely
the gay community knew he was gay, and that's why they were supporting him.
You think so?
I don't know. Come on, bro. You gotta look at it. It's all a game to these people.
I know that.
And to me, I think that's like the weakest shit. That here's another artist that I think. Can rap and do his thing, but went the weak route, I call it. God, Macklemore went the weak route.
Yeah.
He did. He was underground for all these years, but he all of a sudden started catering to the gay community.
Yeah.
And making it makes you wonder. I was like,
and he false flagged him too because he wasn't gay.
And of course, that's what I was like. I was like, is this motherfucker gay?
Right.
They're like, no, he ain't gay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, why? Is, what is he doing? But he did it to
for
get
the money.
So, you know, if
you think that's what Lil Nas X is doing, or you think it's a legitimate?
No, I think he's doing it too. Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah. I agree.
And you know, you see these artists, they're doing, they're all of a sudden they're coming out gay. And because, let's face it, there's a lot of gay people in power in the industry. Yes. It is what it is.
It is what it
call
is.
It what you want.
Call it what you want. Can,
mm-hmm. I ain't no homophobe or none of that shit, no, but I'm calling it what it is.
The truth is the truth, bro. You know what I'm trying to say? They control the majority of the...
That's why you see a lot of artists coming out when they can't get their shit like to that level. They're mm-hmm. like, I'm gay.
Yep.
And all of a sudden,
Or they'll cater to the lifestyle.
There's another rapper that came out as gay recently.
Who?
Snow the Product.
No way. The girl?
With the kid? Yeah. She has a girlfriend now. And all of a sudden when she did that, and all of a sudden the gay community support her. So come on, bro. Like, she's dope. I think Snow is dope as fuck.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But when that shit came out, I was like, oh man, come
it's
on.
It's a real movement.
Like, what is that? Like, what
it's
is,
a real movement.
You know what I'm saying? That's like, come on, man. Like, wow. What the fuck is going on? Yeah, motherfuckers yeah. gotta resort to
being gay to fucking
what the fuck like is that. Going on? I mean, I don't agree. Know. It's just crazy. It's just crazy.
I agree.
It's like it's a marketing tactic.
Now it is. It's become
the marketing.
One.
Yeah, it's fucking it's the weirdest shit.
I thought When he came out, when he officially came out or whatever, I was like, at first I was like, oh, his career's over. Now double thought, you know, thought again.
He's
fine.
He's fine. Man, you kidding me?
He got a niche.
he got too much powerful people to support mm-hmm. him.
Exactly.
Come on, mm-hmm. black and gay, on country music. That's three things.
Yeah. Cha-ching.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm just obvious. It's so fucking obvious.
I love having this conversation with you because, like I said, everything is PC nowadays. It's like it's illegal. It's like a speakeasy. It's illegal to have these conversations.
The problem is, these other artists out here, they're afraid to speak the real shit because they're like, oh, my career, I don't give a fuck. I'm independent. I control my shit. You can't do nothing to me.
Right.
And if you're not gonna speak the real shit, then you're fraudulent. You're just as fraudulent as these artists exactly. that are doing this fraudulent shit.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's the problem. No one speaks the real. The last time we had an artist speak the real shit was Tupac.
It was Tupac. And they killed him.
They killed him.
You know what I'm saying? Straight
so up. Look for me in Las Vegas Boulevard and get shot this fucking next come to summer. Fuck is going on. No, it's crazy. People are just everything's a gimmick nowadays.
Everything is a gimmick nowadays, man.
It's not about music. Mm-hmm. It's about how can you market yourself gimmicky to get people to buy into.
Exactly.
That's what it's.
Everyone and that about, messes up the game.
Everything's about like, Instagram, mm-hmm. right? It's about it's like your own reality show, and you got to make people be like, that motherfucker's crazy. Oh, my God. And that's like, that's why I tell all my mm-hmm. good homies mm-hmm. that do music, I say, look it. People want to be like, you see this motherfucker's Instagram? Yeah. This motherfucker, he was punching women in the face and running off.
And it'd be like,
talk shit and be like, oh yeah, by the way, my song just dropped tomorrow.
Yeah, that's bullshit, bro. That's bullshit. It's like the game is all backwards.
It's not about music. It's about doing dumb shit. Mm-hmm. About being fraudulent.
To get noticed.
And
when Weekend came up, it was like, did you hear a new song? Did you hear that verse? Did you hear, you know? That's what it was. Now it's like, did you see the Instagram? Did you see... Awesome,
yeah.
Awesome weird shit, man.
Weirdo.
Crazy for weirdo. That. But no, but for real, you're talking the truth.
Big facts.
I will say that you're talking nothing but the truth. The fact that a lot of people want to talk about it is just the times we're in. But yeah, everything you're saying is true. I'm going to straight up. But yeah, that seemed like to me, it also seemed like a power move. Like somebody was behind that.
Of course.
You had to be. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, you had to be, man. You look up, I'm watching NFL Network and his song is on the NFL draft. Like, that's the theme song. I'm like,
come on, it's power move.
He's not an independent artist.
No, independent artist. You don't get that type of move because it costs too much money.
Yeah.
And the major labels, they have the money, but they even more, they have relationships with the TV networks, with the movie companies, with the radio stations.
Right.
They have the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Preach. You know what I'm saying?
Preach. It's nothing but game on everything.
You know, they got the big money in the relationships, and that's all this is.
Since we talked about it, we spun off on a little Nas X. All right, I think I asked my correspondent this on a little podcast. It's agreed we're living in an era where you can be a gay rapper. Yeah. I remember growing up, it was like...
it wasn't happening.
Dude, it was like a unicorn. That don't exist.
Today, you can be gay and a drug addict. You can be a drug addict and gay. Back then...
And those two were the cardinal sins of the rap game.
All you could do is smoke a little weed. If you was doing all this other shit, you were a drug addict.
You're a drug addict. You're a drug addict.
You look like Chris Rock in New Jack City. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But speaking of that, in today's era, you can be a gay artist. Well, let me take that back. I know there's people listening, and I want to clarify it. There's nothing wrong with being, per se, a gay artist, but hip-hop...
Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong if you're a homosexual, you're gay.
Right.
But rep your shit out the gate.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Thank you. And then all of a sudden your cells ain't popping. Then you're like, I'm gay.
I'm going to go gay. Thank you.
Rep your shit out the gate.
Hold, be proud of yourself, right?
There you go. There it is.
You know, you think an artist that is heterosexual can come back from what Young Buck experienced?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
I told you.
Because you know why? No. You know why? Because music is a motherfucker.
Okay.
You know who came back from crazy shit? R. Kelly.
Yeah.
My brother, fuck R. Kelly. And guess what? He had y'all motherfuckers two-stepping in the name of love.
Come on, my nigga.
Come on. Yes, music. Music's a motherfucker.
Music's a motherfucker.
Hey, Michael Jackson.
Oh, praise.
These little kids. But that motherfucker come out them records. You be like, I don't give a fuck. Fuck them kids. Fuck them. They should be lucky they suck his dick. You know what I'm saying? But it's real. Music is a motherfucker. Because you know why? Music is a cast to our heart and our soul.
Right.
And it gives you that moment. And that's it. If Young Buck came with some fucking amazing universal material that just touched everybody and had it, whether dancing or whatever,
right.
Yeah, he can come back.
He can come back, okay. Come on, man. You gave two great examples.
Yeah.
Michael and R. Kelly.
Come on. Especially R. Kelly.
Exactly.
Especially. Hey, I know people, man, my second mom, she stays in South Central LA.
Okay.
Know me since I was a baby in Gardena.
Yeah.
And she says, you know what? I don't care what they say about R. Kelly. I'm still two-stepping in the name of love. Fuck all that. That's my jam. And R. Kelly bumping and grinding. That's something. I'm like, that really got you feel a certain type of way, huh? You know? Straight up. So if he comes with that good music fixes everything.
You're right. Because I have the conversation with my baby mom, and I tell her, like, you know what? It may sour me on the artist.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to be like going to his shit and looking at his shit.
Right.
But if it come on and I like the song, I'll probably still play it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest. My baby mama, nope.
Man, if he came with a shorty want to ride type joint again, motherfuckers will forget about it.
Yeah.
Even though his shorty on the ride may have a little extra package, but I'm just saying. come on, man.
Have deeper meanings.
Come on, shorty want to ride. Yeah, okay. All right, Young Buck. Shout out to Young Buck, though.
Epidemic is a fool, bro.
Yeah, people are afraid to speak the real.
That's fine.
Wild.
That's what Epidemic's known for, though. Yeah. Y'all don't know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Y'all should have known from the Tekashi's head decapitated on the cover.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild out here.
Oh, man, you're killing me, bro. You're killing me. Okay. Talk about these new projects you got coming.
Okay, so... the new album, Untitled. Okay. Well, I have a title, but I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
People steal stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
So, new album, I got a bunch of features, which I don't do a lot of.
You don't?
I really don't. You know what I'm saying? So, just be ready. I'm going to have some videos and all that stuff. So, stay tuned.
Gotcha.
When it drops, it's going to be good. It's way different. That's what I'm shooting for. I'm trying really hard. Okay. But, you know, sometimes features, trying to get people to, That's the hang.
Oh, I hate doing it, bro.
That's why I don't do them.
That's why I don't like doing them either. I've done a couple, but I'm like, oh. Well, especially if you pay for it.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. So another product I'm involved with for the last 6 years or so is One West Magazine.
Oh, yes.
So how One West Magazine came about, you know, my bro, OG Suicide,
right.
We was talking. And one day on the phone, like, we talk about pretty much every day and we brainstorm whatever. Right. And he says, man, we should create a platform for artists.
Yeah.
Like independent artists that can't normally, if they don't got money to get it in the big blogs or magazine, whatever. And he said, we should do a magazine. I said, okay. And he knows my background, graphic design work and all that stuff. So, okay, well, cool. And he said, what do we call it? And I'm like, I don't know, what do you think? I was just saying, well, you know, he said, why don't we call it Get Familiar? Okay, well, why would you call it Get Familiar? Mm-hmm. Get Familiar with the artist. I said, eh. Mm-hmm. I said, that kind of too hood fabulous, you know? We need something more, a bigger name. And I told him, I said, hey, I go, what the clothing shirts that you have? What, it's One West. He said, yeah, One West Clothing.
And that's what he started with.
That's the clothing. He started with the clothing, shirts and hats.
Okay, that's where the One West started.
One West Clothing.
I didn't know
and he
that.
Had.
Okay.
And so I say, well, you know what? Since that's already out, and it's known like in the streets, Compton, L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's just make One West Magazine, make it a brand, keep it all together.
Dope.
And he was like, that's dope.
Dope.
One West, basically, because everything is just one.
Dope.
But it's from the West, but we all one.
Right, right.
So that's when we came with the concept. And I said, well, let me figure it out. Let me look into magazines. I go, if I'm going to do this with you, I want to go ahead and capture the old Source type vibe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I used to read the Source back when it was popping.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was the Bible.
Old one, bro.
Right?
Old one, the old.
So I did my research, my due diligence, and I started putting it to laying it out.
Right.
And that's how I created it. I did the whole fucking magazine.
That's why I was just about to ask. You created the online magazine?
Everything. I designed it all. Everything.
That's awesome.
And so then we came up with the first issue, and the first issue we got Problem on it. That's when the Like What song was out.
Mm.
So it worked out because, like, anyone who knows Suicide, they know he's a reputable person from Compton.
Mm.
Everyone in Southern California knows him, hands down.
Yeah.
And he has access to a lot of people.
Right.
And if he doesn't have access to them, I have access to them. So between me and him, we can touch anybody.
Right. You guys became your own major label.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's what we did. Right. And we've been doing it. Now we're on our sixth year. I mean, we've had from Problem, we've had Sugar Shane Mosley, we've had Tech N9ne, we've had Chris Brown, we had Amber Rose.
Game, no, you guys had Amber Rose.
Yeah.
You guys had Russell Simmons interview?
We had Russell Simmons interview.
Yeah, we've
had some heavyweight stuff.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes, sir.
We've had Sink Jackin. We've had
Sacco Round. Yes, sir.
Yeah, a lot, man. So that's how that came about, and it's just grown. It's crazy, and it really is him and me.
Right.
You know,
I know you guys run it. But is there any others?
But we have our head photographer is Pep Williams.
Okay.
He's a very famous photographer, and he started in the world of skateboarding. He's from Venice.
Yo.
So he started out skateboarding with like Jay Adams, all the original Dogtown guys.
Yo.
So he's our head guy, photographer, and he just gets this crazy stuff. Like, we had Nick Cannon on the cover, you know?
Yes, right. That's right.
And
That's right.
And then we employ like a bunch of writers, and it's just crazy.
It's a record label as well?
Well, no.
No.
One West is not a record label. That's,
okay.
He has a record label, CG Records.
Okay.
You know, and now that's evolving into tied up with another label, which is becoming one, which is Voodoo Nation. It's all kind of stuff going on. A lot of changes are happening right now.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But One West Magazine, man. And I don't really preach it that. You know, I'm part owner of it,
right.
And I'm so heavy.
Yeah, you're humble. You always a humble dude, bro. That's why I like that. Another reason why I like you, always humble, bro. It's hard to deal with big-headed motherfuckers, man.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, what happens is when people know you're involved with a magazine like that, which I never realized how popular and how big of a magazine it is.
Right.
Because we've gone out to events, and people know it, Suicide Dad. That's his magazine.
Right.
And I remember I went to an event, and they're like, oh, Won West in the building. We had our hats on. Won West. And they're like, that's Epidemic. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, shit. and they're like, man, they go, you part owner? And then I'm like,
I'm like, asking you for favors.
Bro, I need a cover. And so that now it's turning into the people that do know, you know, it's like, you want a cover? Okay, well, how many copies do you think we'll buy? How many people will buy this magazine because of you on the cover?
Exactly.
Can you sell 20?
Guarantee us?
Hey, I tell people, can if you can't, off your face alone, sell 25,000 units out the gate,
you don't get the cover, bro.
There's a reason why we have a Nick Cannon, exactly, an Amber Rose, exactly, a Tech Nine.
Understand how things work. We're going to get you in the magazine, just not on the cover.
Yeah, so that's yeah, so I kind of keep that. Well, yes. Now everyone fucking knows now.
Where do you guys plan on taking the platform, man? The next, because you guys been live for 5-6 years.
So we got some really big shit happening. So you know, it's we got some big shit happening.
Okay,
I don't want to embellish on it right now, but we're gonna grow.
Good. No.
It's not gonna be just here.
Got it.
We're already in other states. It's like that, right, but
Is it going to stay print as well?
Yeah.
Online?
Yeah. Print and online.
I love the fact you guys still print.
Right.
You need that, man. You need it. You need that.
That physical.
You need that physical copy, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So we're going to expand. Okay. You guys will see something prior to the next 3 months.
Dope.
And everybody will be like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, we've been working on stuff for like the last year.
Dope.
And we got our next issue.
What's the next issue?
We're working on it now.
Okay, sorry.
You'll see the cover should be out of rotation probably within 2 weeks.
Yes.
And we got a good one. We actually got two really big people in this one.
Okay.
really big.
Dope.
Top tier.
Dope. I know you can't give it up right now.
No, I can't give it up.
I know.
It's gonna be good. Trust me. So. Companies that are trying to get it, you definitely want to get in this issue. It's going to be big.
And that's one for those that don't know, is onewest.com.
Onewestmagazine.com.
Yeah. Onewestmagazine.com.
Yeah.
And how's it working with Suicide? You mentioned the OG, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to OG Suicide.
That's bro, man. That's bro. You know, I've known him for a long time, man. And from the first time I met him, you know, we just linked up and we know a lot of common people. And we just work really well together.
Good.
There's never been, it's funny because I always laugh at him. I say, damn, bro, all these people you've known and you always get into with people. And it's never him. It's always them. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, well, you know, some people just, they ain't solid, you know?
I'm feeling something. I'm feeling it.
You know? But yeah, man, he, you know, a lot of people, they know, who know him from his past and just his get down. A lot of people are intimidated and get nervous around him,
right,
you know?
Because he has the gangbanger background. Yeah. Right.
It is what it is.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's from the West Coast.
He survived, you know? He's a shark out here.
Yeah.
But, you know, end of the day, he's a good dude, man.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He's very intelligent, very smart.
He's a good dude. Yeah.
He's been through a lot, seen a lot. Like I would say, any OG that's reached that 50-year mark. Mm-hmm. They've never done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Never done nothing wrong, but they're still here.
That's a good one.
You know, it's cool working. We get a lot of stuff done.
Dope.
We're always brainstorming.
Dope. Yeah. So you gotta stay tuned for the next issue coming soon.
Yeah. End of October.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And make sure you guys visit the platform.
OneWestMagazine.com.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And shout out OG Suicide as well.
Boom.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, back to you, Ed, my man. I'm loving this conversation with you, bro. So, man, where can fans find you online? All this stuff, man.
My website, epidemic.com. EPADEMIK.
Okay.
Everything right there. Got the shop.
Do you interact with fans?
Yeah, man, all the time. Hit me on my Instagram. I'm always, you know.
Yeah. I know.
Man, you know. Hate and love, and take it all, you know what I'm saying?
Got you.
Because, you know, haters are just fans that don't know it yet.
They don't know it yet, that's exactly. You know, something bothering them about it, you know.
Yeah, that's all.
Yes, sir.
I'm not worried about it. But yeah, hit me. I always respond, you know, and I try and get on my Twitter more, but Twitter's just funny.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard to interact people with on Twitter. It's kind of like leaving an ad.
You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. So.
Yes, sir, my man. So, we were talking about some of the artists to, out today and how they, you know, they'll mimic the end thing. And another thing, they, a lot of them don't even have their business right. Like we were talking off camera, man. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah. So what I noticed is all these artists they talk about, and I know this is fact because a lot of them will message me on Instagram after I post something about ASCAP or copywriting or, you know, Nielsen Sound Scan or any of the, you know, the educational aspect business of it. And you'd be amazed. And some of these artists, they'd be on their Instagram talking about, oh, man, I got my check, man. I got some check coming in. I got money. Blah, blah. But then they'll ask me, man, so how do I register with ASCAP or CSAC or BMI?
How are you getting checks?
How are you getting checks? What is BDS? What is media based?
Don't know what BDS is? What are you doing? You know, if your shit gets spit on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, it's crazy because
I sit here and preach.
I give up so much game. I'll talk to these cats and people will be laughing. They're like, damn, bro, they tell me, man, you need to like charge these motherfuckers, man, consult them, you know,
webinar, oh, man.
You know, but what artists need to understand is people would ask me, how do you get checked? I mean, I get checked every quarter, which is every third month, you know, there's 4 quarters in the year. How do you get checks from ASCAP or your distributor or for that? What's mechanical royalty? What are these things? End of the day, artists, number one, join ASCAP, BMI, or CSAC.
Yes.
It don't matter which one. They all do the same fucking thing.
Yep.
Join one of them. Get your writers, and then start a publishing company. Without the publishing company, you will not make money.
Mm-hmm.
It costs no money. I don't know what it costs
now. Yeah, it don't cost much.
It's only like $100 for both.
Mm-hmm.
Register every song you do. And when you do a song with somebody,
explain the difference between a songwriter and a publishing company.
Okay, so there's for a song. First of all, we'll say there's a song. The breakdown, you have a composer, which is the producer.
Yeah.
You have a writer,
and
then there's also other aspects to what they list on there. You know what I'm saying? There's authors and so for everyone involved with the song, there's a spot for you to put on there, and everything has to be even percentages.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to have that on your writers. And then the publishing company aspect is that's how they pay you.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that, you can't get paid. Because without a company, you can't get a paycheck.
Right.
So that's how I tell people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you can be like, what do you do? Oh, I deliver pizzas. For what company? Nobody. Okay. You have to have a company. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So artists, get out there, join ASCAP, BMI, or CSAC. Create a publishing company, pay a little thing, and once you pay once, that's it. And the cool part is these companies, they love it when artists call them.
Mm.
Oh my God. Whenever I call them, they just be so excited and happy.
For real?
I swear to God, they'll help you. If you can't figure it out, they'll help
you. They're not pretty friendly.
You know, I'm with ASCAP, personally.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like, they're just so friendly, and they want to help because that's what they're there to help the artist.
Yo.
They're not to help the labels. They're about to help the artist.
These people don't understand that when they're done with the music or out the studio, the work has just begun.
Yeah.
It's a lot more work to do.
And I tell these artists, learn what a split sheet is.
Mm.
A split sheet is a piece of paper that lets everyone who's on that song, whoever wrote on it, produced on it, even if you just wrote 4 words, guess what? You're entitled to equal amount of that song.
Yeah.
And the split sheet, very important. A lot of you rappers just be doing songs with people and then like put it out. And then,
man, no
and
then paperwork. Like, no paperwork on it. Like
on a split sheet, I'm going to tell you all what's supposed to be on a split sheet. Get your pen and paper. You ready?
Mm.
It has to be the government name, the full government name, an address, a phone number, and a social security number.
Mm-hmm.
And then your artist name,
mm-hmm.
the name of the song. The runtime of the song.
Right, runtime, yep.
How the song is it, who's what labels are putting it out?
Yep.
What distributor's putting it out?
Yep.
And it has to be dated, and everyone has to sign it, and that gives a clearance.
Right.
Without that,
you can't really put a song out.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, especially if somebody's on a major label. Like,
yeah, oh yeah, they won't sign it. They won't sign it. They won't. So cover your ass. Do split sheets.
You mentioned the publishing. A lot of these dudes don't even have their publishing together, let alone copyright. You know,
right.
You know what I'm trying to say? Let alone that. You know what I'm trying to say? There's a lot more to it. Oh, that's what I was trying to fish in my brain. You mentioned the Nielsen and BDS.
Right.
I know for a fact that a lot of people don't know what that is.
And the cold thing is MediaBase, BDS, those are the companies that count how many times a song is played on the on the radio.
Exactly.
So, and there's a lot of online stations that pay a yearly fee. Yes, it's like $800 or so. I know we have for One West Radio, we pay that.
Okay.
So those companies, every time your song gets played, you get a spin.
Get royalty. Yeah.
You get royalty.
Yeah.
So it's free. Nielsen SoundScan to register your barcode for your song, your album. It's free.
Yep.
MediaBase, BDS to register your song with it. It's free. All this shit is free.
They're essential.
So anybody who says they're going to charge you to do this, they're taking your money. And if you're dumb enough to give them your money, then you're a fucking idiot. This is all free stuff. It's all free. You know what I'm saying? People don't take time to learn the business.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? That's why they're losing.
The BDS.
That's why they're losing.
You need all that, man. You need all that. You can do it in one night.
Man,
I'll
give you a cold-ass example. So I did an album back in 2005.
Yeah.
And on that album, there was a song. There was a show, reality show. It was the model chick, old model chick. What was her name? Janice Dickinson, I think her name was.
Okay.
Somehow in there, one of my songs played for like on a phone or something for so many seconds.
Yeah.
That had to get registered. I still get checks from this shit being played in Sweden and all these other countries. I still get small. Now they're small checks now. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. It was registered, and I still get little checks. That's because it was so many seconds of it was played in a show, and it was just long enough to where it was identifiable.
Right. Right.
So imagine.
So the publishing company picked it up, or was it
ASCAP? ASCAP said, "Up, no, Pam." So I get to, and I didn't even know, and all of a sudden my name came up on this episode for this and that, and I'm like, what the fuck is it? And I was like, and I still like, you know, we're talking 2005, 13 years later,
you still getting checks.
I still get small little checks. Bro. You know what I'm saying?
Along with your paperwork. So, that's a perfect example.
So imagine. Imagine if you get a song that's on a TV show and it's a syndicated show and it's a show that always goes. Right, you'll get a check for life.
Right.
Get your paperwork
get
right.
Get your paperwork right. People.
And that's why people say I'm a big fan of put your content out. Put it if you're don't hold on to your music.
Yeah.
Put it out. Register it.
I talked with Red Rum about this because he got a catalog. Like, yeah. I'm like, well, drop something.
Hey.
He is, though. I don't even know.
Like, you know what? It's better just to drop singles. Yeah. Just drop them, put them out. Because the more content you have, what if someone finds you?
Yeah.
That never heard of you, and all of a sudden they're like, oh,
I want this in my TV show.
What else?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So put that content out. Mm. You never know where it'll end up.
Yes. Yeah, I tell them that all the time. I'm like, man, they got thousands of songs, bro.
Don't hold on to it.
The songs can be real. I'm like,
Hey. Yeah, put them
this
out.
This is a sick.
Come on, Rum, put them out.
Come on, Rum, put them out.
Damn it, man.
Damn
fuck it.
Out. Damn it, bro.
You know, Rum is tight as fuck. You need to put that shit out. I'm on your helmet.
Yeah, bro.
Come on.
Man, I love this conversation with you, Ep, man. We're going to definitely bring you back.
Most definitely.
Definitely bring you back soon. Matter of fact, when the album drop,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's dropping in a month or two. We bring you back, bro.
You already know.
And we're gonna get it popping again. And we thank you, man.
Always.
Taking your time out straight up. Man.
Always.
I appreciate it. Any last words? Or shout outs?
Man, shout out to my squad, Bad Seed, Faculty. You already know. Sickness, Rollo, A Tizzle, KQ. That's the squad. Know the name. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to myself for being fucking just too real. Shout out to One West. Shout out to my bro, G Suicide. You know, man, Shout out to y'all, man. You know what I'm saying?
We looking, man. You already know, bro. All day.
Man, West Haven. You already know what it is. Shout out to everybody, man. Yeah, bro. There's just a lot of good shit happening out here on the street level as far as music.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, man.
Dope.
Man. If I talk to you, whoever you are regularly, you already know, shout out to you. You know, big tuda, everybody.
Oh. Follow Epidemic. I don't know if you said your socials earlier, but follow Epidemic everywhere. Add Epidemic on Instagram.
Hit me on Instagram. Epidemic. It's MC Esquire, EMCEESQ. Twitter, Epidemic. Facebook, Epidemic, EPADEMIK. Just go to my .com. It's easier.
Yeah, there you go.
Epidemic.com.
Boom.